sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, the horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I am John. Happy belated birthday, Rolando.
Thank you. Magic.
So much energy today.
Yeah. So the boys are going to be. It's going to be a really quick one for the boys. It's a little. You know, the boys are hungover. So.
Yes, this is true.
Fun night. I don't know. I don't know if we could talk about it, but it's probably shouldn't.
Go ahead and if you saw us on the wild and took a photo of us, tag us.
Yeah.
At Skeleton Boys Pod.
Still deny it. Yeah. All right, and welcome to the show. This week, we will review The Offering. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, go back to TV Corner. We're watching Yellow Jackets Season 2, Episode 8, titled It Chooses. And again, I want to read the storyline, because it's my favorite part now of this. It starts, storyline for Yellow Jackets, it chooses. Shh. It's only going to get worse from here. Despite the whole winter's never going to end thing, the 1996 New Jersey State Girls Soccer Championship decided to start their spring training early with an impromptu cardio session. Callie encounters an old flame. Van proves goalies never say die. Most of the adults intentionally commune in a sharing shack, and Lottie, baby, I hear the blues are calling for tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. So that pretty much sums it up.
I hear the blues are calling for tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Mercy.
All right, I'm trying to figure out. Okay, it's only going to get worse from here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm assuming it's the quiet before the storm. I'm imagining the person that writes these quick summaries is involved with the show.
I hope so.
Because they're having way too much fun.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming next episode, shit's really going to hit the fan.
Yeah, it's at the end.
Or the van.
Whoa.
Let me see. Despite the whole winter's never going to end thing. Oh, yeah, because they're chasing after Natalie, right?
Yeah. So why don't we start with the ending? Because I think that was probably the thing the most talk about is the Lottie's all fucked up. And she tells what's her face? Young Misty, that, you know, if anything happens to me, just don't waste any of my body or whatever. Insinuating that you're going to eat her or something, right? So instead of doing that, they decide to pick from cards, which is the queen with the eyes out or whatever as the card for the one that will be sacrificed. Is that right? You know, be eaten. Yeah. For some reason, everybody agrees to this. Everybody pulls because a card.
They all are so insistent that they need Lottie around because Lottie is connected to the forest. Now everybody is on board with that.
Yeah, everyone's just accepts it for what it is, huh? Yeah.
okay, sure.
Yeah, well, see, that's kind of where I think that this, I had a lot of problems with this ending, even though it was really like well shot, well done, everything. Like, I didn't have any problem with the way it was handled, but like some of the, like, it kind of seems out of behavior for Natalie to behave that way, because she's been very anti Lottie up to this point. And I thought we were going to have, like, well, it seemed like we were going to have a certain small group of people not participate or wait, or, you know what I mean? Like, not participate. But then now we have everybody kind of like on board and stuff like that. So Natalie. Natalie ends up picking the card, and she's like okay with it, and she's basically like says that, you know, one note is that they do wear the necklace that, you know, I saw online, that they do wear Jackie's old necklace, which is what they give that necklace to the people that are sacrificed, which was the person that died in the first episode had the necklace. So it's like a I don't know, like a, the way they choose them, they put that necklace on, and Natalie's all like, if you're going to do it to my face or something. And then, yeah. I just thought that was kind of funny. And then they,
and that was that parallel where they're having the adult conversation too. Right. And Shauna is basically admitting that she might be like homicidal.
Yeah, basically it mirrors it, because she kind of confesses she lied to all of them. And kind of like everybody, the truth kind of comes out. So everybody's like knows about Shauna's deal and Jeff, how Jeff tried to blackmail him for money, stuff like that. And then Shauna kind of comes clean, and a lot of this is spread on by the fact that, of course, like, they found Am's body. They are like actively pursuing Shauna as the one that committed the murder. So this episode they come clean, which also ties to Lottie wanting to do like a new ceremony of choosing somebody to be sacrificed, because she goes on to say that, like, this thing that's came back with us out here, it's still here, and it wants another, wants blood for blood or whatever. So,
I mean, how many people does Shauna got to kill?
All of them. So, yeah. And then they begin to, back in the cabin, for whatever reason, Travis like, no, you can't kill Natalie, because now they're friends again. Because if for a minute they weren't, and now they are, they're totally cool with each other. And Travis pushes the girls away, and Nat, you know, runs, and then they all chase her. Chasing her, and mind you, like, howling and, like, screaming, and I'm like, what? They went from, like, 0 to 10 on the whole murdering thing. You know, hunting murder vibe. Like, it's a cool, like, scene, because there's, like, these women or, you know, teenage girls are, like, in the woods hunting, you know, howling.
Yeah.
To murder people, which is, like, that's a great visual, great idea, but like the way it was executed, I thought was a little clumsy.
Yeah, we briefly talked about it. Something about this isn't really checking out, right? Like, if this is how
right.
the story's going, then I don't understand where the writers are going with this. Maybe on strike? Just kidding.
I think they, sorry, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, it's just like, it doesn't add up, or it's not cohesive.
So I'm right.
curious as to whether this is not a real memory.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think that you said last night that, like, what if they don't remember any of the stuff they did? Which kind of tracks now, because I feel like after everything that happened, the fact that, to me, where the disconnect is that the adult versions are so, like, far away from the behaviors of the teenagers, to where it's unbelievable that what they put Natalie through in this episode, why she would continue as an adult to be their friend. Like, to me, it doesn't really quite add up.
Yeah.
Unless she doesn't remember, or, you know, is kind of hazy on the details. And there is a little bit of like memory, like confusion, or they're hallucinating, they're daydreaming, whatever, like in Ben's case. So, and we learned that the one of the girls that has the mouse is actually a dead mouse.
So oh, it's like, yeah, that's right. They're all going, they are all hallucinating. And it could all be connected to all those birds dying at that one moment. Like, yeah. maybe they're, I don't know.
It's black mold in the house. They're all getting sick.
Yeah. I mean, but like maybe something like that. Maybe there's something toxic in the air. And like,
right. Yeah.
You know, it's not been good that they've been eating each other or like things that have been around.
Yeah.
I think this could all affect like their psyche.
Yeah, I think that's becoming more and more true. That part of it. It's
and then Shauna probably losing an intense amount of blood and going through that trauma, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she's got brain damage or something. That's why she's so insistent on killing people.
I mean, she beat the fucking shit out of Lottie to where she's like pissing blood and like they're totally cool with each other. Like, I don't know. If somebody beat the fucking shit out of me, I would have more intense feelings about them than that, you know? I don't know. It just seems like a little disconnected and that element is becoming like, it just seems like the writers are like trying to stretch the story because it's really difficult to balance and make interesting the teenagers and keep them a big part of the show like the adults. I feel like at some point one would have to give. And of course, the obvious one is the one for the past because that's already happened. You can, you know, it's necessarily, it's key and integral to the show, but it's also something that has an end point at some point. You know, it's going to end them being in the woods. So I don't know. And
it is interesting that they've all come together.
Mm-hmm.
Including Van, who like went out of her way to be like far, far away, but sleepwalking Ty found her, I guess, or was drawn to her.
Speaking of Van, I feel like she is, this is my theory, is that because Van, because he's made it abundant, like, so at the end of this episode, they don't decide to do the old ritual, which Lottie presents as like drinking tea or something, and one of them would die. Kind of like a, I don't know, like a Russian roulette type of situation. I don't know how to describe it. And then,
just like, why do they keep hanging out with Lottie? But yeah.
But I feel like the theory is to me, like, it's kind of unfortunate, but I feel like Van's going to be the one that dies and it has to do, and I feel like it has to do with the fact that she already has cancer. She says like, oh, I have the cancer that doesn't come back, or what is it? You don't come back from, or some shit, right? I forgot how she worded it. So I'm assuming
in the words of Gene Hackman, she's got a bad case of cancer.
Classic Gene Hackman line. Unforgettable. But yeah, so I'm assuming she's going to be the one that goes, and she's like the newest cast member here. So, and she kind of, in retrospect, she kind of doesn't feel like she's going to permanently join these cast. Just seemed like a kind of like a guest star.
Yeah.
So.
I guess we're just going to have to find out. Man, like a lot of things happen in this episode.
Yeah.
But the more we like I kind of got stuck on that too, how like it's just not like the flow of the series got disrupted on this episode. I'm not saying it was a bad episode. It was just like a little confusing.
Is that because of people's behaviors?
Yes. Yeah, like people's behaviors and I mean that there are like hints, like when Misty's like, you remember at the beginning of blah blah blah, that summer or that whatever, and I don't know what one of the other ladies was like, you really want to bring up all that trauma from our past? She's like, you don't know what I'm, well, you know what I'm about to say or whatever, and that's when it was intercut with, and I think this is the previous episode, right? That was intercut with them dancing into Lightning Crashes by Live and whatever insane thing was happening, whatever. So I think there are hints that they don't remember everything.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, I want to quickly note, Ben finds the cave for Javi, right? It's the kid's name. And he was able to map out exactly where Javi is was hiding out the couple of months, and looks like he hid under a tree, but it's like insulated in a way where it won't be cold or freeze, and there was like bones or something, so it could be some small animals or something he lived off of, and.
And also, I guess Javi's favorite musician was Vanilla Ice and liked that song Ice Ice Baby a lot.
Yeah. He definitely stopped and listened.
Yeah.
And
Was that too cold?
yeah.
So Javi becomes a popsicle.
So he was chosen. The forest chose him to die. And he. I see, that's also another, again, to reiterate, like the point that we're making. It's like the fact that for one, Javi's like trying to help Natalie. Like, I have somewhere we can hide, which of course he's referring to the tree. And they run out, and I guess they run into some like thin ice. He falls, and of course, you know, dies because of whatever. It's still cold or whatever, thermal, whatever. I don't know what's called, but
Hypothermia.
hypothermia. Thank you. And they girls all catch up, and Natalie are there. They watch him drown, and they basically insinuate that, like, no, if he survives, he survives, but we're not going to help him or hurt him. You know what I mean? We're just, if he gets out, he gets out. If he doesn't, he doesn't. So it's on
But it's
them.
also because Misty told her, like, if you help them out, they will kill you. She was supposed to die.
Right, yeah.
Which,
Good point.
I mean, they have Travis like pinned against a wall or something, so he has no idea any of that happened.
So he's gonna fucking, they're gonna eat Javi next week, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Travis is gonna be like okay with it, not okay. I don't know. It's gonna be curious. I'm curious to see how where emotionally he's gonna be, you know, whether he accepts eating them or, you know,
I
doesn't.
mean, I guess it's about to be Taco Tuesday. I could say stuff like that. I am of the same descent. Or I'm assuming they're mixed. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think those are all the finer points in the episode.
Yeah. Aside from, oh my God, what's her name? Callie?
Callie, yeah.
Which I wonder if that's just like the writers are like, we read it in Hollywood. Let's call her Callie. It finally confronts, what's the dad's name? Jeff.
Jeff.
What about like, you know, mom's like, she's insane, blah, 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 like this person. And this is where like Jeff like really is like putting his foot down, like, you don't understand what she had to go through out there. And basically explains how she lost the baby and all that, and now the daughter's being understanding. And this episode really like made me think the Jeff and Ben characters are like really good characters, finally. I wasn't sure how to feel about them, but they're both like phenomenal actors.
Yeah, it kind of seems like at every point it seems like Ben's character reaches like an end story-wise, but they always find, I think, creative ways to kind of keep him on the show. That doesn't feel like he is shoehorned into the thing. thing. It put him it's like a natural progression, you know. So
yeah, not bad.
Yeah,
I mean, it was still a good episode. Just like I'm curious to see what's gonna happen because
I'm not confident that it's gonna end satisfyingly. If that makes sense. Like, I'm not sure.
There for sure is a third season.
Yeah. Whenever that is, I don't know. But
yeah, because they have not finished writing it.
Yep. Yeah. This one just aired.
Still on strike.
Yeah. This one just aired, so I'm pretty sure they were like in early pre-production. So
yeah.
Of the third season, so that all got scrapped for now, I assume. So yeah, we'll see. We'll get it whenever we get it. Is it weird that we were like one episode down and they took a week off? That we had 9 episodes this season instead of 10? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, strange. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the reasoning was.
Ran out of money.
But yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They're preparing for the writer's strike.
Preparing for the writer's strike. Okay, cool. Do you want to move on to our main review of The Offering? John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For The Offering. Coming in at number 3, my 5 word. Plot summary for The Offering. Nobody listens to old Hamish. Coming in at number 2 for my 5-word plot summary for The Offering, as the boys nurse a pretty gnarly hangover. Woman marries into dead business.
That's good.
And coming in at number 1 to cure hangovers of all hangovers. Family keeps feeding old goat.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Alrighty. John, what are your first thoughts?
I didn't care for it.
Okay. But did you finish watching it?
Yeah, I did. I was kind of checked out, though, especially because I was like, it wasn't bad. It was just kind of, what do the kids say? Mid.
Yeah.
Like, not bad, kind of interesting. I don't know. I don't know what I think it was just a little too generic, I think, is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if we hadn't seen like 3 different movies this is obviously pulling from, you know, maybe this would have been like more interesting to me. I don't know.
What other 3 movies?
Very much like The Vigil, right?
Yeah.
A lot like The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it's very like stylistic, like it wants to pretend it's back in like the 70s, even though it's present day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the aesthetic is all very old.
70, yeah.
What was the third one where I was like...
Yeah, I think it was Autopsy of Jane Doe. That's what I thought.
Yes, Autopsy of Jane Doe, that's right.
Yeah.
That one. I mean, a lot like Paranormal Activity 2, right? Did I mention that one? No.
No.
Yeah, so a lot like that one, too.
Hmm. Okay.
Especially that last movie, the last Paranormal Activity that didn't really connect with the other ones.
Ah, yeah. Fuck, what was that one called? Something.
Next of Kin?
Next of Kin. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty much in agreement. I think this film had a lot of potential, a lot of promise, has a great setup. Interesting setup, like something I haven't seen in movies. Essentially, like, it's a mortuary morgue for Jewish people, right? And... His, you know, they have a son and a new wife, a mother to be. He's coming home to talk to his dad, who does this as a profession. And I think that's a really fun setup. And I liked where that was going, even though it's kind of starts, the cold open is kind of like, it's interesting, but it's like not I don't think it quite lands. It didn't land with me as a terrifying or interesting cold open enough, you know?
Yeah.
But I think they did. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say because it's like I feel like all of the accurate portrayals of the way they portray Judaism and stuff like that was really interesting. You know what I mean? And I thought like those were like the most interesting parts, but the story is, like you said, it's very,
you know,
paid by numbers.
You know, this movie was almost exactly like, now that I think about it. But this movie, my opinion is far superior, was Anything for Jacob. Kind of like really reminded me of that entire plot.
Mimi Jackson or Anything for...
Jackson, sorry. No, it's Anything for Jackson? Anything for Jackson? Anything for Jacob? The old satanic couple?
Yeah, I think it's Jackson. Is it Jackson or Jacob? Look at us.
Yeah, Jackson, you're correct. Jackson. Anything for Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just kind of had that same idea where they're trying to... So, what the cold open kind of starts off with, this guy is just trying to get his wife back.
Mm-hmm.
From the dead? Question mark.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, which... I mean, the cold open was kind of fun, actually. The more I think about it, it wasn't... I think... It was a little corny, but so was a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, you get introduced to certain characters, and you're like, oh, okay, this is our main person of the story. And, like, no, like, they really tried their hardest to make almost, like, a bunch of characters have their own story, and we have to follow that, and then they would drop off from that. And, like, we kind of start with the wife, and we're getting to know her, and then... I don't know. She kind of like disappears from being all that important until the end.
Yeah, I think it's because, unfortunately, well, that's a spoiler. Events happen that puts more focus on the lead and his sort of, I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, I think everything, because the way the story is structured, I think everything has to fall back on him. And unfortunately, like, I don't think he was like, I was telling you last. I don't think he was very good.
This guy, he's not a very good actor.
He's not a very good actor, and he didn't. I think so much is laid on him, and I don't think he was particularly interesting. And so that I think that, and plus all of the sort of scary bits that didn't really like.
They weren't that scary because it was
extremely
predictable.
Right. Like, I feel like my two favorite characters is the wife, Claire, and Hamish.
Hamish.
I thought those guys, like, they're such good actors, and like they just brought such a different, they brought like an edge to the type of characters we've seen in these type of movies. And I think they brought so much, you know, of their talent to it. And like, it's almost like they overperformed in these roles, but because it didn't seem like there was much there for them. But
also, it seemed like there wasn't anything you could do to stop this creature or this demon.
Yeah.
And the demon could straight up just like kill people, I guess.
Yeah, it was very,
sure.
Very lazy on its powers and abilities. Because doesn't he? Okay, so he starts with like, he just wants. So at the beginning of the movie, it's not a spoiler, but in the beginning of the movie, it says like, every, what is it, religion has a myth of a creature that takes children or something, right? I was like, oh, okay, cool, because fucking his wife is pregnant. This is going to be really fucking interesting, you know? Like, it's a good setup. Like, but it just like killed everybody. It was just like, it didn't give a fuck about, it had no like, no child, like it was just like, I'm gonna fucking murk all these fucking people.
Yeah, she was because the demon's female. I don't know why they gave it a gender, but
was she La Llorona or whatever? Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, that's what I thought too. I was like, oh, okay, this version, but like, no, she was just like a trickster.
Yeah.
Who do you think would win in a in a bare knuckle fight.
Okay.
This
celebrity deathmatch.
Yeah, exactly. Celebrity horror movie deathmatch. This demon woman or Mama from oh shit, what's it called? What's that movie called? Don't worry, the whitest kids you know guy wrote it, directed it.
Oh, Barbarian?
Barbarian. Or Mom from Barbarian.
Oh, it's hard to say because the demon is in the offering is its powers are undefined, so it can literally come up with anything to defeat a mother who has probably this. Well, actually, I was gonna say she had the size, but she doesn't have the size, but she has the strength.
Definitely has the strength. She is larger than average.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot to finally kill her. And ultimately, I think Mom and Barbarian allowed herself to die.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's mentally weak. So maybe she dominates the first part of it, but then the demon will it up. Defeat her.
But if the demon kills whatever child she chooses next, then Mom will get mad and all hell's gonna break loose.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, like if the demon is like mid act taking children, she might get possessive of said children. The fight, she could go like, you know how like they say when mothers, they like under immense amount of stress, if their kids are being hurt, they're able to like lift cars or something. I don't know what this is like, the technical term is, but so maybe mother would like feel that rage, passion, and you know, attack the demon. So
exactly. And that's our review.
That's our review. Yeah.
I don't know this. The undefined nature of this demon also had me kind of check out of the film, because then I'm like, okay, now you're just letting it do whatever.
Yeah.
Where's the real conflict? I know it's going to win now. Like, there's no.
It seems unlikely they'll be defeated. But my favorite scene that actually made me laugh, which I don't think I was intending to, is like the goat. Well, it's a goat demon. I should probably stress that. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not. But I mean, because it's shown through the majority of this movie. It like the Claire character finally sees it for the first time, and it just like blah, like it's just like a goat thing. Yeah, and then Claire's screaming with it, and then she like runs away from it. I was like, that's unintentionally funny. So
like all the scares and stuff are just kind of goofy. Like they're playing basically tag with this dead girl for like most of the movie. I kept forgetting the dead girl was around.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not really a dead girl.
Well, see, they had some interesting bits with the, like you said, like interesting bits with the wife, because she was like a photographer of food, and she was like taking pictures of food and everything, and then she like caught off in the corner of her eye like a hand move in a you know, a coat rack of some type. And she's like, well, fuck, what the fuck was that? And she tries to like rewind it back. And then there was another scene where she does the whole mirror thing and the little girl shows up, which is also kind of fun. But I feel like the fun bits were few and far between. I mean, that there were like a couple of cool things. Even the first shot of them, first kind of like scare or whatever, when the demon is released, is it goes up into the room and they do like this kind of POV Michael, you know, Halloween-ish type thing, which was kind of, I thought was kind of, you know, very kind of fun. But I liked those scenes, but again, like I think there was a lot left, not much else really caught my attention.
Yeah, I mean, what also caught my attention is like, again, I'm not too familiar with the Jewish faith and why they do the things they do.
Mm-hmm.
But like when they're all having, when they're all sitting in mourning, sorry, it's the Rona back. Like somebody goes and like rips their shirt, and another person rips their own shirt, like Hamish rips his shirt. And I just had to look that up, and it's I'm gonna probably butcher this. Kraya? Kraya?
Mm-hmm.
Any of our Jewish listeners, please
correct this. Please don't turn off the show. We're sorry.
Is the tradition of rending garments to represent the tear in your heart when losing loved
ones. Oh, yeah. And they were like singing, chanting.
Yeah.
Loud wailing cries. I don't know. Somewhere in between there. That was actually a great scene, too. And of course, like,
that was cool.
The kid, they wear that thing, right? The, like, they wrap their hand and they have like a little, like,
binding stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that before in a couple of other movies. And it's some sort of tradition or something, right? Not sure what it's exactly for, but.
And it's like this thing, I don't know, like I kept thinking the dude was being possessed, but that didn't really seem to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Did you kind of think that too? Like there were several moments where it seemed like he was possessed.
The,
and I was like, oh,
the
no,
lead? The son?
Yeah. Like, especially during that moment, like, he freaks out and he runs to the bedroom. And then...
Yeah.
He sees what the door closes on him. I forgot what he saw. I think he saw his... I don't remember. I kind of wasn't really paying attention, to be honest. Because I was like, I don't know what's going on now.
I think, without spoiling it, yeah, that scene, he seemed like it's, well, I guess we should probably go back a little bit and say that, like, he was in the process, the reason why he came home was he was going to sell the house or something, right? That kind of created a riff with, like, Hamish and Sal and even his own wife who didn't know that all was happening. So he was seemed like he was kind of on the outs with these people. You know what I mean? So his arc was like a redeeming arc.
Yeah. Because he wasn't getting any work. I forgot what he did for work. I'm assuming he worked film production because he hadn't worked in months. But he hasn't worked, and he didn't want to tell his wife. Who they like really set up that she's British and now it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then that didn't seem to matter a whole lot at all.
Like the second half
of the movie. It was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Didn't matter.
Now, there's a lot of points in this movie where I'm like, why was that even announced then? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just bring back Hamish. Who cares?
Bring back Hamish. Make the movie about him. I felt like they picked the most boring character to be the lead.
Yeah, that's why I kept checking out, too. I was like, this guy's just not all that great.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a cool name, though. Nick Blood. Nick Blood. Great name. If it's his real name, that's great. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So that's really his name?
Nick Blood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick Blood.
Nick Blood. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically the majority of the movie. It felt like a long movie, and it wasn't really, was it?
No, it's like an hour and a half. Yeah, 90 minutes.
long movie. Basically takes place in one house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Except for the other guy's house. The guy at the beginning of the movie.
Right. Yeah.
Which
the guy who conjures the demon or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he had already conjured the demon and was trying to trap it. That's what we realized at the beginning.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because he was doing the ritual that they recreate later in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife comes out and is like, what are you doing? And he's like, shut up, you cunt. And I was like, oh, said the C word. No, he didn't say that. I forgot what he did, but he was, yeah, he was just being like really rude to his wife. So it immediately made me think like, okay, so this thing's not real. Like that's when it started like, okay, I kind of get where this movie's going. It's going to be one of those movies.
Right. Yeah. He's able to, I don't know, shift into people that would make you vulnerable, you know, kind of tricking you, I guess. Yeah. Shape-shifting or something. Okay. Do you want to just...
You know what it reminded me of, though?
Yeah.
Evil Dead Rise, that cold open was fucking spectacular. Just want to repeat it.
Yeah. Well, I like the... I just like the opening titles. It's probably the best opening titles I think I've seen in a movie in quite some time. Those are very clever.
So, you want to just get into spoilers?
Yeah. There's a couple things we can mention. Yeah, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers!
The dad dies. Surprisingly.
Spoiler!
And then... That leads to that moment you mentioned about Hamish and the other, I don't know, his friends or whatever, doing the ritual, which I don't remember what it was called. So,
yeah,
I'm too not sober enough for any of this, which is great. And then he dies. So that's where, like, this is where the redeeming arc comes, where, like, the Nick Blood had to essentially figure out how to get rid of his demon, because like, it was, like, haunting him, his family, his home, stuff like that, so.
Yeah, and he goes over to that guy's house, right? The dead body that comes in, where that thing got trapped in its necklace.
Right, yeah.
And he sees that the house is like completely littered and like there's scribing all over the house, which I'm assuming was an attempt to trap the demon.
Right.
Or conjure it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. He was doing it cause he lost his wife, the first guy. Right. And so he was trying to figure out a way to bring her back. And then he brought the demon back, which.
And then, yeah, he does that thing that they did in Paranormal Activity where he records himself.
Yeah,
doing like ritual tests on this like little girl that I'm not sure how she's connected. I'm not sure who she
was. That was his granddaughter?
Okay.
could be true, could be not true. I could just be making it up. I'm assuming that was his granddaughter and like that's how the demon came because the child was there. Right? I mean, yes. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I took from it. So therefore I'm right. So that I think that was part of it. That's why we saw that little creepy girl who would running around.
And while the son is like checking out this guy's house, his wife is visited by the dead wife of the guy at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, this is where it gets weird, yeah.
Yeah. And then that's like, oh, it's really creepy. But then I feel like it went on a little too long. Like they were trying to pad it so it was just as long as him like discovering all these things in the house.
Yeah, it was supposed to create this like tension between like we know who this person is, so therefore we're gonna kind of pretend like she's there for different reasons or whatever. Like interspliced with him like cutting, you know, him figuring out, like trying to build tension, but I thought it was very flat.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. You know what it was, though? They didn't play Lightning Crashes by Live.
Didn't hear any good music in this. Minus 10 stars. Yeah.
I don't think I heard any music at all, except for that banger Hamish started singing. This one, like, the movie's just starting to drag a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, again, not a bad movie. I'm not saying it's definitely not a terrible movie. It's just A little too predictable.
Yeah, because then it's just basically the last half hour of this movie is just the creature just running around. They're just running around from the creature, running away from the creature, the majority of the rest of the movie.
And also, there's like a younger dude, part of, I don't want to get any of this wrong, but like this guy who's, I think, acidic or possibly, I'm not sure, but he's, you know, the ringlets by the side of, like, so.
He wears
very
the.
Involved in the faith or whatnot.
Yarmulke? Yeah. No.
The hat, right?
Hat, yarmulke.
So.
Just skip right over that. Let's keep going. All right.
He's like, okay, actually, this reminds me of a quick story. So I used to, one of my exes, I asked her because she was Jewish or is Jewish.
Okay.
We were like driving down La Brea, and you know, there's like a heavy concentration of not concentration. Can't think of words right now.
Concentration, yeah. Infestation. What are you trying to say, John?
No. There's like the neighborhoods are like primarily like Hasidic Jewish.
There's like community. People. There's a large community of Jewish faith
including
people,
like buildings and schools. Yeah. Like it's like huge.
Yeah.
In like a really really pretty part of town. And we were driving by, and I saw a couple of gentlemen just like walk across the street, and I asked her, I'm like, hey. I'm just curious, like, so can you explain to me, like, why do some guys have a shorter hat and the other guys have like a taller hat? Like, clearly it's like a status thing, I understand that, but like, why do they wear this? And she's like, I don't know, that's like those guys are like super Jewish. I asked my friend who's also Jewish, and we're like, we have no idea, that's like really Jewish. I'm like, okay.
Well, I think I know why they wear the yarmulke. You know why they wear the yarmulke?
No way.
I think it was explained that so they always know that they have something above them. So they're reminded that there is a God, right? So there's something between them and God. So it's like they have a hat to remind them, oh yeah, like there's something above me.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I knew that. That's about it. I thought if they're like a certain type of, I don't know, we shouldn't be talking about any of this because we're so like not educated on it, but I thought that if they were a certain type of Judaism, they couldn't like touch other women, only their wife. Am I crazy?
I don't know.
Maybe.
That's also like, I think there's like different
levels.
Is faction the right word? Like different types.
Yeah, I don't know what the
types of Judaism.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Like there's different types of Christian faith.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was.
Out of my realm. Yeah.
It's out of our realm. I only mentioned that because the father, you know, hugged the wife, like his wife.
Oh, that's right.
So I was like,
oh well, because she's not Jewish. That's okay.
I think it was supposed.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah, like because wasn't there a Jewish rapper like a couple of years back? You know what I'm talking about?
Modest Yahoo.
And he had that thing where because he's very you know. Into Judaism. So his whole thing was that like he couldn't like touch other women or like interact with or talk with other women because he was married. It was like I think that's where I got that little factoid. I could be wrong. I wonder
if it's like it was just a part of
whatever
his show, you know. Because that dude doesn't do that anymore. I don't know how to explain it. He doesn't get dressed up like that anymore when he performs. He just kind of looks like a regular dude.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of looks like a hipster now. But
yeah.
Oh yeah. So getting back to it over our review of
Judaism. Yeah. Oh wait. Yeah.
Yellow Jacket season 2, episode 7. No. The dude, the guy that he knew what this demon was and knew all the facts. And he's like helping him out and they're doing all the stuff. And he's like, we've got to do this quick. We got to stop feeding it. And then this fucking demon chick like wasn't even there and like invisible snapped his neck. And I was like, okay, so what are the rules? Because like, it just seems like it's fucking with them at this point. There's no like, the dude was just standing there and his neck snapped.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because he had like that character. I think you're speaking about is kind of like the guy that knows everything. He's like the info dump for the audience about what's going on. You know, like this, this mainly his only purpose is just to tell you what's going on, like what things are. So
exposition Larry over there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's pretty much only there. And then once he serves his purpose, cracked his neck, threw him out. He was out. So, which is disappointing and kind of obvious, I think, that approach.
Yeah, they ran out of money. They couldn't pay him anymore. They're like,
no, it's fine. Fine, we figured it out. We're gonna rip your neck off.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna have this thing, but it's not gonna be there, and it's going to snap your neck. So all you gotta do is just turn your head to the right, real quick.
Real quick.
Because I was like, oh, it didn't go all the way. Maybe he's alive. Oh, he is dead. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where they ran out of money, because there was other stuff that was looked cooler, and I was like, oh, okay. You just, he's sleepy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a bit of a miss. Cool. I think, do you have any last thoughts?
No, the one last like jump scare thing at the end, I thought was too much. Like one scene too much.
Oh yeah, that was so bad. Yeah, I hated it. Like,
guys,
it feels like
a made for TV movie.
Waste
now.
Of my time. Yeah. Yeah, moment. Yeah. It's cringe.
It would have been better if so what happens is like the wife like wakes up underneath the table and is like freaking out, you know, and then walks out and sees that everything is fine and sees her husband has not died because he tried to sacrifice himself.
Similar like the old man. Yeah, like that. Just to clarify, yeah.
Demon Hamish, which that part was actually pretty cool. It was like the one time it was like kind of cool because the actor playing Hamish was like, you should have never left the circle, and like super cool guy walks away and then walks past his own dead body. He realizes it's the demon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she like comes to... walks out, sees her husband in the doorway, and she was like, oh, the baby. And then she's like, I think it's okay. And then obviously the guy's not alive. It's a demon going like, good, and like touches her stomach. And I was like, oh, that's lame. It could have been better if instead, she's like, oh no, the baby's fine. And then the guy touches her stomach and goes, end movie. Fuck yeah. I would have clapped.
They should have did that. And then they reveal like only half his body is human and the other half is goat. He does a baby. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a fucking fawn.
Fucking fawn. That would have been so much funnier. I'm sorry, better. Excuse me, not funnier, better. Yeah. I would scare the shit out of me. Yeah.
It's just like you like pants to the back of him and in his butt. There's like a hole cut out. And he's got a little bushy tail. Like,
yeah. Fuck. They just have little poops on the floor. Right under his feet.
He's just like, hey, is everything okay? And he's just like gnawing on grass, like just like jerking his jaw around like a goat, like, oh, there's something wrong with him.
I think we're describing that Jim Brewer character, goat boy or goat man.
Goat man, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what we were thinking. Yeah.
I think a missed cast opportunity is what
Jim Brewer should have. Well, Jim Brewer is like weird now, but he's like, yeah, it's cancelable. But yeah, anyways, yeah. But they could have goat man's son or something, and then just, I don't know, put somebody else in there. Yeah.
And then just have like a whole goat theme. So we really drive it in. Like have, just have that one song by Gautier playing all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. Missed opportunities everywhere. easily could have rewritten this.
Yeah.
Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Offering 5 sexy spooky bones.
I think I'm going to go a little less. I feel like I gave. Didn't I give The Visitor 5? But I thought that was way better. But so.
Oh yeah.
So on that scale, I'll give it 4. Because I feel like 5 is like good, but I have problems with it. 4 is like we're trending down. Because there are some okay stuff about this. But yeah, it doesn't. I don't think it's. It relies too much on like cliches, horror cliches, unfortunately. So I'll give it 4 sexy spooky bones out of 10.
And do you think if this movie had incorporated that theme song for the God Obi-Wan Kenobi character from The Visitor, it would have been better?
Dude, immediately everything is like a two sexier and spookier just having that song in.
Just like 10
out of 10 song. More music. Should have got, I don't know, goat-themed music. I don't know. Set it in a farm or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. Old McDonald's stuff.
Old McDonald's stuff, yeah. Spooky old McDonald's stuff. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
I knew something was coming goat related.
Okay. Bye.